This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday. Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback for his weekly segment. Actually going to talk some Arizona State head coaching candidates with Peter because there's a couple with NFL ties. And we'll talk with Peter about Blaine Gabbert. Is he ready to be the quarterback for the rest of this season for the Cardinals? I think he is. But more importantly, could he be the long-term answer? I am not sure about that. So I want to get Peter's view on that front. Also, the Rams this week, a very good matchup for the Cardinals. So I have plenty to get to with Peter King. He'll Skype on in from his home in New York City here in about 15 minutes. We'll have that for you. There's a couple of other things that we're chasing. I don't know if they're going to fall through or not. When you have coaching searches going on, the idea of trying to find national media people whose opinions we respect, that's a key point. We just don't open up a book and say, let's put this dude on or put that guy on. No, there's just a few people whose voices I want to hear. And they're all chasing in the middle in this time slot. So we'll see if we are able to get one to drop on in that has an angle around the coaching search for ASU. We'll get into that. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind brought to you by the people at Sagicor. Guys, you've got to take care of your life insurance. You've got to take care of your family. Sagicor now. Are you protected? Have you looked around at your family and their situation? Log on into Sagicor now and protect what matters most. Don't put it off. We appreciate Sagicor now being involved with us here at Sports360AZ.com. That is Sagicor now. The coaching search. So every day I could sit here and lead the show off with names that are out there that are on the internet or that are being kicked around in print. And by and large, I am not going to do that. I know you're saying, well, aren't you in the business of ratings? And aren't you in the business of clicks and all that stuff? And again, if I sit here and just give you crapola like everybody else, then I'm just being like everybody else. And you may consider what I do crapola, and it's fine. I appreciate you guys checking us out every day. But I'm not going to sit here every day and just throw some names out there. If Rick Neuheisel wants to tell me that he would like to be the next head football coach at Arizona State, then I'm going to give Rick Neuheisel that platform. I thought Rick yesterday was really good on what it will take to win at Tempe from his point of view. I think we glossed over a few things from yesterday, though, when it comes to the ASU job, and I could do hours on this. Ray Anderson's press conference on Sunday, outside of what has happened at Tennessee, was the most interesting sides of the weekend. What Ray Anderson said Sunday afternoon, where he wants the next coach to take the assistant coaches, the coordinators that are already here, and Phil Bennett on defense and Billy Napier on offense, and to keep them, has wrangled some fans, has wrangled some national media types to the point of, are you kidding me? Who's going to come in and take that type of job? It would have to be somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of experience, who's wanting to take it to the next step, because you're not going to get an established name that's going to come in and be told, this is who you have to have on your staff. Now, I do think there's some merit to that. I mean, if you're in your business and you go buy a new one and you're told, yeah, you can buy this and we're going to be partners in it together, but you've got to take this guy and this guy and this guy. I don't know. Is that going to work for you? In terms of where Todd Graham is going to end up next, I've gotten a lot from the fan. It's really interesting how the fan base a year ago, after Todd Graham got just destroyed by Arizona and all off season, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? That once Todd Graham beats the U of A, he's become a sympathetic figure. Over 80% of people on a poll that I put up said that Todd Graham should have stayed on as coach. And some people I've talked to in person were dead set on firing him and getting him out of here last year. But man, things just change in a hurry. Well, he's gone. Okay, so you have to deal with that. What if Todd Graham takes a job here in the next week or two? What if Todd Graham goes to, let's say, SMU if Chad Morris leaves? Or what if Todd Graham goes to Texas A&M if they don't get Jimbo Fisher? What if Todd Graham goes to any one of these SEC jobs that are open? Todd Graham came in stealth in the middle of the night, essentially, from Pitt, and just dropped on it, and everybody's like, who the heck's Todd Graham? That's how quickly these things come together. Todd Graham were to leave, would you want to see him coach in the bowl game? Would it be in the best interest just to have somebody here? Would it be Billy Napier? Would it be Phil Bennett? Would it be Danny White? Could it be someone along those lines to get you through the bowl season? What about these coaches? I mean, if you're on the recruiting side at Arizona State, let's say you're Donnie Yantis. Donnie Yantis is handling the recruiting for Arizona State. And when Ray Anderson points out that they just have not gotten enough star players, and they only had one guy at the combine last year, are you going to feel comfortable if you're Donnie Yantis with staying at Arizona State? I don't know the answer to that. There were just things that Ray said on Sunday that from top to bottom, and with Letter of Intent Day coming up on December 20th, you can't sit here and mess around. What are we at? We're at the 28th day of the month. So we're 22 days away from Letter of Intent Day, and there's not a coach in place. I'm not going to sit here every day and say the clock is ticking on Ray. These things do take time. But I do think if we're sitting here a week from now, 10 days from now, it means that he didn't have somebody lined up. You saw how quickly UCLA came into place with Chip Kelly. And if Ray's decision to fire Todd was not in place with a backup guy with somebody in mind, then Ray just went about and did his thing and then said, I'm going to be going out and going about my business to try to find that next head coach. I don't have anybody in place. I think if we're sitting here, Eric, what would you think? If we're sitting here by Thursday or Friday and there's not a coach, then that means Ray went into this without having somebody in his back pocket.
I would think so. But most of the good ADs usually have three or four names on the back of a business card that they're targeting behind the scenes.
Sure.
And I don't know, it might be Kevin Sumlin, and maybe they're just in negotiations trying to figure out all
I think
the,
they'd be out by now.
If
it were Sumlin, I think it'd be out already.
Maybe. But some of these ADs have a way of just keeping things below the surface. You know, look at the way Greg Byrne hired Rich Rodriguez. Nobody had any idea until Greg Byrne broke the story on social media himself.
Yes.
Again, a lot of ADs aren't as shrewd as Greg Byrne. So
if you're going after a sitting coordinator, right, who's going to get his opportunity.
NFL, you mean, or college?
Let's go both sides.
Okay.
So if we go college, I'll talk to Peter about Terrell Austin, because that's an interesting one. Terrell Austin, defensive coordinator with the Lions. His name is on the list in all corners for the ASU job.
And you get the sense that Ray Anderson really wants to make a minority hire here, just from the names that you've been hearing.
Yeah. No, there's no
question.
And
that makes sense, yeah.
There's no question. I think that's been like the 800-pound elephant in the back of the room of, was he going to hire a minority or not? And it's his prerogative. I look at it and just say, who is the best person for the job that will come here and work under the conditions that are being presented to them? And if those conditions are, you have to come here and take this coordinator and this coordinator and this coach and this coach and this coach, then that's what it is.
I have a name for you, okay?
Throw it.
It's not one that you've been hearing.
Yeah.
Would Mike Norvell ever come back to coach ASU?
So,
up-and-coming coach, knows the Valley, still recruits out here at Memphis. I don't know anything, but I'd love to get your take on that.
Neuheisel threw his name out yesterday, too. And is Arizona State a better job than Tennessee?
No.
Okay. I could make the argument that it is because the people in Tennessee, Billy Bob and those folks, are nuts. What they did to Greg Schiano, from my point of view and everything that I've seen that's come out, is nothing more than people saying, I don't like him because he is not John Gruden. Thus, we're going to go crazy, and we're going to stomp our feet, and we're going to take somebody who there's documentation that he had nothing to do
right
with the Jerry Sandusky raping of one player that allegedly somebody said that might have maybe happened.
Well, it's a different question.
Those people are crazy at Tennessee.
But does that make Tennessee a worse program than ASU? I don't think so.
I don't think people at ASU are out of control crazy.
But if you're talking about job versus job, how can you argue that Tennessee is a worse job than ASU?
If the culture around it, the culture at ASU is just one of you're going to be here 5 years, you're going to get fired, and that's it. And we're happy to win seven games. Ray's trying to change that, thankfully.
Right.
Mercifully. You know, we're not going to tolerate going to the Sun Bowl and the Vegas Bowl and all these other bowls that don't mean anything nationally. Would I want Mike Norvell back here? Yeah, I think the fact that he's gone to AAA, that's how I would term it. People in Memphis, you're not going to like that, but that's the facts. That's the truth. He's gone down and he's proven himself. He's taken his beating. He's taken his lip getting bloodied. Is that a good name for here? Sure it is. But is Arkansas a better landing spot for Mike Norvell? Is any one of the seven jobs in the SEC a better landing job that are going to come open for Mike Norvell? Would Mike Norvell excite the fan base here? I think he would, Eric. I do think he would. But again, is Mike Norvell going to look at this spot and say, I feel like I could get bigger fish? And would ASU be a stepping stone job for him? If you're going to hire somebody who's 42, 45, they're going to come here and they're going to be here 4 or 5 years, just like it's always been, and they're going to move on. That's how it is. Bruce Snyder came here towards the back end of his career, and Bruce wanted to be here. Bruce wasn't being pursued to go to other places. Dennis Erickson came here at the end of his career. Whether you liked Dennis or didn't like Dennis, Dennis got the shelves stocked. There are a couple guys, Vontez most notably, who should never have been here, but Dennis was able to figure it out. I think when you have the Dirk Cutters that come here, somebody who's just getting out of Boise and coming into the Pac-12, they're going to be a fish out of water. They're not going to be very comfortable. And you're going to be in a space where you are not the preferred destination within the conference. You have to out-recruit USC and UCLA because they have the advantage of an ocean that you just do not have. A guy like Neuheisel, I think Neuheisel would be a fine athletic director, somebody in front office. I don't think Rick is the right fit here for Arizona State. There's something that needs to come in here that changes what we've had for the last 20 years. Peter King is next, and we'll get back into this. Also, we have not talked about the playoff on the other side. We're coming into the final week. I don't see any way Alabama gets in here. I really don't. And if Oklahoma loses, does it really matter? They split the series with TCU. We'll get into that, too, later on in the show. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to visit with the Monday morning quarterback, Peter King. Go to MMQB.com, the Peter King podcast. It's the MMQB podcast with Peter King. Downloads every week or a couple of times a week. He has great content there as well. All things around the National Football League. Peter, I want to start out the conversation today on Blaine Gabbert. Yesterday, Bruce Arians was asked, would you be comfortable with Blaine Gabbert being the guy here permanently for the rest of the season? He said, as long as he plays well, that's no surprise. There's a lack of quarterbacks. It's no secret around the NFL. From your point of view, is it just a matter of maybe this guy has finally found a landing spot rather than going through bad teams, bad coaches, bad coordinators? Could he be the guy here next year?
I think it's possible. I'd still probably rather do what I suggest. And again, look, that's one of the reasons why it's good that the Cardinals have five games to go. Because I think it's impossible to say that right now that it would be a good idea to enter 2018 thinking there's a good chance that Blaine Gabbert is your guy. I mean, you don't have any idea really right now whether he is. And I'm just looking at their schedule right now. And to me, I mean, you know, you look at the schedule, and the schedule has got some really telling games. And I'll tell you why, at least in my opinion. You play the Rams with that really good pass rush. Let's see how he handles that. Then you play Washington. They got Ryan Kerrigan, who's going to be chasing them for four quarters. And then I think the biggest one could well be the game at Seattle to end the season, because Seattle could need that game. And look, we've all written Seattle off. But since they lost Richard Sherman and since they lost Cam Chancellor, in those two games, they've allowed 280 and 279 total yards. So let's not be doing the obituary of the Seattle Seahawks just now. They got an exciting quarterback who makes things happen when everything breaks down, and their defense is still pretty good. So I think after these five games, Brad, you're going to know the answer to the question about Blaine Gabbert.
Switch over to the Rams. They come here this week. The Rams absolutely destroyed and punished the Cardinals overseas earlier this season. This team, Peter, or the Eagles, if you had to choose one, the better team in the NFC right now, which way would you go?
Well, I'd pick the Eagles, but I think that their biggest challenge is going to be the Rams. I mean, we'll see that game happen in 12 days, Philadelphia at Los Angeles. One of the maybe the best game of the last 5 weeks of the season. Obviously, you've got New England and Pittsburgh, so that'll be great, too. But, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles right now, they're 10-1. Nine of their 10 wins have come against teams with losing records. So the next basically 2 weeks, the next two games at Seattle, at the Rams, that's going to tell us how good the Philadelphia Eagles are. As far as the Rams go, I think I watched most of the game against the Saints. Two things really impressed me. The fact that they're so multiple on offense, throwing the ball to so many different guys. And I wrote about this a little bit on Monday, Brad, but what has happened to Jared Goff is so incredible and so interesting, because one of his touchdowns that I wrote about, he actually threw the receiver open. And that's an old football cliche. I'm not crazy about it, but what that means is that you direct a guy yourself while the play is going on, and you end up throwing to a spot where he isn't yet, but the guy's got to get there. And that's exactly what he did in the back of an end zone, in the back of the end zone on one of his touchdown throws. So Jared Goff, this is not just taking advantage of the weapons around him. Jared Goff himself has improved massively since the start of the season. And I realize nobody's going to want to hear that, you know, in the Valley right now, because you want to think you got a chance in this game. And look, the Rams are not 30-something points better than these Cardinals. That was proven to me on Sunday with the game against Jacksonville. So I think this has got a good chance to be a competitive game.
Peter King with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Before I get you out of here, I'm going to switch over on the college end. And if you're just not sure, it's fine. But you have written about Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions. His name has surfaced out here at Arizona State to be the next head coach, as has Pep Hamilton. Ray Anderson, who was number two in the NFL office behind Commissioner Goodell, is the athletic director out here. It's his first hire of a football coach. Peter, do you see NFL guys looking at a college job out here at Arizona State? And if so, a guy like Terrell Austin, does that make sense?
I mean, look, I know Terrell Austin okay. I've had two lengthy conversations with him. Really smart, really well-respected by his players. And if you ask Jim Caldwell, and you ask people he has coached with, they will say an excellent game day strategist, very good at multiple game plans. In other words, he's not just going to play one way. My feeling, and I put him on my list,
right,
Brad.
I saw it.
I put him on my list. I think he'd be a top five candidate to be an NFL coach this year. Now, whether he'd get one, I don't know. And I do know this from talking to him in the summer in training camp. He's a little tired of being the bridesmaid in the NFL, which is why, in my opinion, I don't know how Arizona State football doesn't win. I don't know college football. But how great is Phoenix?
Yeah.
How great is Tempe? How great are their facilities? How great is that campus? And look, somebody's going to win there. And somebody's going to win a lot of games there. And I think it's a job waiting to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And Harold Goodwin, Arians OC, is interested in the job as well. And these are NFL guys that are saying maybe not go to the NFL route. but on the college end. So we'll see what happens. I'll let you go off that, Peter. As always, I appreciate your time. Have a great week.
Thanks so much, Brad. You take care.
There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, checking in via Skype, mmqb.com, the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast with Peter King, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sesmat. All right, there is so much going on the college football front, but in our state, but I want to get over on the basketball, and because yesterday, and I'll get back to the coaching stuff here in a bit, I'm going to tie Rich Rod in the next segment, too, along with what's going on at ASU, and to throw a couple other names at you and bounce it around with Eric because he's really good at this, too. Eric's just good at a lot of things, but he's really good at this. Arizona State basketball is ranked 20th. They have not been ranked since the days of James Harden. And U of A is not ranked. U of A, I saw last night on the bottom line something along the lines of it's happened maybe once before where a team was ranked second one week and the next week they fall completely out of the top 25. I think of the two stories, they're both really compelling. And I'll start with ASU first and then I'll get over on the U of A side. But Trey Holder is starting to go into rarefied air when you're talking about guards at Arizona State University. You have to start talking about people like Jahi Carson, James Harden, Fat Lever, Byron Scott. You have to start going down that path. I'm not saying he is there yet. But if there's been a player that has benefited more from Bobby Hurley's arrival, I don't know who it is. Because he has turned his – he was good when he got here, and he's only gotten bigger and stronger. But he has a swagger about him now that you look at him and say I want that guy on my team. And you actually go down the line of the guards that they have in place at ASU. If they get just a little bit of play out of their front line, I always want guards. If I've got great guard play, basketball is not 1-on-5. It's just not. You may think it is. And we're in this day and age where I'll watch a game and I'll see one guy try to go out and score 40 and all that nonsense. Trey Holder scored 40 the other night. And did it in a fashion that was very unselfish. It just was. He was open. He felt it. He had the green light. All the cliches that we use. But he also found ways to not just stand outside. He dribble penetrated. He was able to get free via screens. He was able to get free on inbounds plays. He was able to do it from all sides of the floor. It's very impressive when that happens. Like the thing that why I've been so big on Bobby and was not big on the direction of the football program, was I've seen players that have gotten better and better. This is not going to be a slight at what I'm about to say, but if you understand and open your mind up, you'll get it. Manny Wilkins did not win any games for ASU, and he didn't lose any games for ASU. Does that make sense? He didn't win, he didn't lose. He went out and managed games. That means I didn't see anything extraordinary out of him. I didn't see anything terrible out of him. Eric, does this make sense?
Yeah, I don't agree with it, but it makes sense.
In what way? What don't you agree with?
I think Manny Wilkins is one of the more underappreciated quarterbacks, not just in the Pac-12, but in the country.
Maybe so.
I mean, he wasn't the reason that they lost 5 games this year.
But he wasn't the reason that they won all those games either.
But he made a lot more plays than he didn't make plays. And his jump from his sophomore year to his junior year, I think, is huge. I mean,
he's made some great plays, but I don't see where he went out and single-handedly beat the U of A. There's quarterbacks you look at and you say, "Wow, that guy."
I don't necessarily agree with that. Completed well over 50% of his throws, threw 3 touchdowns. When the team needed to put U of A away with 4 minutes left in the game, he got them in range and threw his second touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry.
Which was a great catch by N'Keal Harry to bail him out. Was it a great catch? Was it a great throw?
You could make the argument that it was a great throw.
He had DeMario Richard that ran crazy.
He did.
Okay, so he had running attack in front of him.
He did.
His legs keep them alive, but I didn't see him do anything. My point is, and we'll disagree on this, fine. I didn't see anything over the top special. I didn't see anything terrible.
Do you remember how bad their offensive line was? Do you realize how many times Manny Wilkins has gotten sacked this season,
Brad? No, he got crushed.
Over and over again.
You're right. But did he do the Washington? No, he did the Washington game.
He didn't lose the Texas Tech game. The defense did.
He didn't. I didn't say he lost any games. I just said he didn't do anything to me that was spectacular over the top. I think if you're going to be a big time player, you've got, doesn't matter what sport you're in, you've got to be consistent. Okay. You could make the, your argument is he's been consistent.
He has been consistent.
And that's, I'm not going to disagree.
He's had
with
an
you.
Underrated year. I don't even know how you can argue that. I mean, I guess you, if you want to, you
I'm
can.
Arguing it, but
I mean, if you ask anyone inside the ASU football offices, Manny Wilkins is the least of their concerns.
I'm not saying he's a concern. I'm just saying he didn't do anything over the top great. He didn't do anything terrible. That's all.
Okay.
I think
I don't agree with it, but that's fine.
But I think in Trey Holder, so in Trey Holder's case,
right.
Okay, this is where I'm going with this.
Okay, much smaller sample size, by the way. Trey Holder had one 40-point game, and he's been a good player throughout his three-plus years at ASU. He hasn't been an elite player, but he's been good.
I think he has won games for them. I look at Trey Holder as somebody who has been a fighter. Different sport. Manny's been a fighter out on the football field, sure, but he's got better talent than Trey Holder's had around him. Trey Holder has not had anything around
him.
Not
this year. Look, they have three senior guards.
But they don't have anybody inside yet that's established
himself.
Romero's trying to help him.
What wins in college basketball? Guard play. What wins in March Madness? Guard play. And finally, ASU has three. It seems like Cody Justice has been at ASU since like 1985.
Since you and I were together.
And Trey Holder, you could say the same thing, but... And again, it's so early in the year. I'm excited about ASU basketball, but we're not even in December yet, so I'm sort of tapping the brakes on it.
Do you think they get blown out of Kansas?
I haven't watched Kansas. I mean, I would hope they wouldn't get blown out. I don't expect them to win.
Is
a 15-point loss a blowout?
I think in December, if you go about your business...
I'm just happy they're playing Kansas. It's great.
No, well, them playing Xavier... They're playing some teams like I bitched forever here about their RPI and I get yelled at over there like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I do know what I'm talking about. When you play all these directional schools, it does nothing.
You need a balance. You need to play some of those directional schools, but you also have to have some big fish on that non-conference schedule because it's only going to help you come selection time if you're in that position.
So I think because they have four guards, Remy Martin's going to be really good.
Yeah,
Remy Martin is just a tough-as-nails guy.
He is.
So they're set up here for the next few years. But I really believe if they don't get some help down low, it's going to be just like it was last year. Your guards can play well for you in March. I don't see them wearing down, but I think when you go down to Tucson, and yeah, get it, it's DeAndre Ayton. If Sean decides to go play zone, and I'll go over to U of A now. So if Sean decides to play zone with Rustic and Ayton inside, you're not going to have much of an opportunity to do anything when it comes to getting an offensive rebound or even just winning the battle on the glass. I thought it was interesting. Sean on his coach's show last night got all over his guards about playing better defense. And, yeah, they don't have Raleigh Alkins right now. That's why I'm not all that wound up about this. I'm not a U of A guy. I'm not an ASU guy. I'm just a basketball guy. I think if you look at both teams, where they are, ASU's still missing two post players that are huge for them.
And U of A does this, Brad, from time to time, especially maybe not this time of year, but you'll get into conference play and it'll be the middle or towards the end of the year and they'll go up and they'll play Oregon State and
yep.
they'll lose.
Yep.
And everyone will think, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. And then they'll rattle off like 8 or 9 wins and be like a 2 or 3 seed or a 1 seed. So it's a long season.
I do think this is an interesting mix with Sean. You know, you've got some guys on that team. Sean's for the last few years has had players that have come in specifically to be one and done guys. And then they transfer out or they don't get into the rotation or he's had a lot of guys leave. And I know that the U of A fan will say, well, that's just the way that college basketball is in this day and age. Well, then don't tell me how great you are. You know, this has been it was interesting in the press box on Saturday. There's some longtime people associated with U of A that came walking in there that just had this look on their face of, I can't believe our basketball team is that bad. And now we're up here for football, which is where they don't want to be. And, you know, football went through their meltdown. And they're not the invincible force. Alonzo Trier Sean called Alonzo Trier out last night. Alonzo Trier, a couple possessions, had the look of, I've got to make a shot because I'm Alonzo Trier. I need a demo tape. And I'm going to be one against five. And there's a chemistry thing that's going on down there. Alex Barcelo didn't even make it into the rotation for that last loss for very long. They're relying on Parker Jackson Cartwright. So I agree with you. They're going to figure it out. But it's a very interesting time in our state. The last time that ASU basketball was ranked in U of A was BC. You know, it just doesn't happen. It really doesn't. Back on the coaching circuit on the other side, sports360az.com. Our television show tonight airs on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 13 airings per week, and we will have that for you tonight. We are self-funded, by the way. Those of you that are sponsors and take care of making sure that we continue to do this, we do appreciate it. Very much so. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we have people that are coming in and great numbers and all that. So we appreciate your partnership, and you're about to see those sponsors now. So tonight is going to be the final one of these shows that Eric just loves, these Tuesday night, what is going to happen in the college football playoff, who should be in the final four. What I find interesting on this is, and Brad Edwards pointed this out too just a little bit ago on social media, and Brad does a great job. He's been on the show a lot. Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, Dan Radakovich at Clemson, their AD, and Frank Beamer, who's the father of a Georgia assistant coach, would all have to leave the room for the final vote if Alabama, Ohio State plays out. If it comes down to whether Ohio State has a better resume and deserves to go in over Alabama. If you don't think that TV plays a part in this, I think you're sadly mistaken. If you're an Alabama fan and you're convinced that you should go in, I would say, tell me what your best win was, and you'd have to come back with LSU, who's not very good. And then you'd have to come back with Mississippi State, who lost to Ole Miss. And that's not good. You come back and say, okay, if you're Ohio State, what is it you've done? And you're going to point out the Iowa game, which was a total disaster and a total meltdown. If Ohio State beats Wisconsin this weekend in the Big Ten title game, no one else has beat Wisconsin. Okay, no. So no matter what happens at Iowa, I would think that you could make a very strong argument that Ohio State should be in the postseason, in the Final Four. What happened with Clemson losing to Syracuse? Syracuse is abysmal. If it's my view, my vote, I'm not putting Clemson back in there. And I know that happened early in the season. With Miami losing to Pitt last week, part of me selfishly is I want to see fresh blood. So please, Miami, beat Clemson this weekend in the ACC championship game so I don't have to see that anymore. My point is where does Alabama have any leg at all to stand on? This is a pure Alabama conversation. What is it that Alabama can do to say that we deserve to be in the Final Four after the way that Auburn handled them? If Jared Stidham doesn't fumble in the first half, that game's a blowout. I was watching that game up at the ASU press box before it started. Auburn had them on the ropes all day. And so you go down the list, and it's really about does Alabama get in? If Alabama gets in, then it's all about who's going to draw the biggest ratings on television. That's it.
And we'll know tonight. I mean, we'll just know if Alabama is still in the top four, guess what? They're going to make it. If Alabama is not in the top four, I can't see any way they get in because they're not playing this weekend. They're not a conference champion. You mentioned their resume is not great. Now, do I think Alabama is one of the top four teams? Maybe. I mean, if you
have a good running back this year, I haven't seen a good running back there. It was Derrick Henry. I mean,
who's a better team?
Mark Ingram.
Who's a better team, Brad? Wisconsin or Alabama?
Alabama.
Okay. There are teams above them that Alabama is just better than. But yes, they lost the Iron Bowl. So.
And they didn't just lose it; they lost convincingly.
I didn't see the whole game. I saw the highlights, and they did not. You know, Jalen Hurts was inconsistent, and that
he's gotten too much.
And props to Auburn; they had some really creative. Like against Alabama, you have to get creative on offense. You have to figure out the little trick plays.
Yeah.
Figure out ways to move the ball because their defense is so good. And yeah, they haven't really beaten. And I agree with you. LSU is nothing special. They're a fringe top 25 team, and if that is the only leg Alabama has to stand on, and right now it really is.
Because the Mississippi State loss to Ole Miss, which that's a bad loss.
With their backup quarterback playing for Ole Miss.
Yeah, both sides. So. Both sides. Okay, so run me through this. TCU Oklahoma is playing in the Big 12 title game. Does it matter if Oklahoma wins or loses this, given what else they have done? And is it just they split a two-game series against a really good TCU team?
If Oklahoma loses, they're not making it.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
You look at their schedule. Who gets in ahead of them? Because TCU doesn't get in.
Well, the committee doesn't like the Big 12 to begin with. So any way that they can, and that's just common fact. I mean, any way that they could.
I love it when you get on this Big 12.
I hope they're. I'm sure the committee. I'm sure. You know, Gene Smith and some of the other, they're praying that TCU wins that game because they would love to just say, hey, you know what, Oklahoma, great season, but you got two losses now and you're not a conference champion. They could always go to the you're not a conference champion card.
Do you think Gene Smith would go to the Baker Mayfield planting a flag in the center of the
maybe
field?
And then figure out a way to slide Ohio State in there somehow?
Well, that's the point on this. Look, let's say TCU wins on the final play of the game 17-16. How do you make the argument that Oklahoma is not one of the four best teams at that point?
But I don't think they are. Just
you don't think they are.
I think here's what's going to happen. I think Oklahoma is going to win Saturday. I think it's going to be a 14-17 point game, kind of like in Norman.
Because you lost your running back, right?
And I think one of them, yeah. And I believe that they're going to make the playoff. I can't see TCU being Oklahoma. I know it's the second time. I know it's a neutral site game, even though it'll be probably 65-35 OU fans there.
Is this just not a great year in college football?
I don't think so.
Because I don't see a team. Do you see a team that's way above everybody else?
I mean, this should answer your question, Brad. There are people that think USC could be a playoff team. And this USC is nowhere near as good as some of the past USC teams we've seen.
No, I wouldn't go down that path. Would not go down that path. Let me throw a name at you on this deal. So this is back on the ASU job. There's been some fans that have been sending me notes about why have you not been pushing Hugh Jackson's name out there? So Hugh Jackson is presently the head football coach of the Cleveland Browns. Last time I checked, he's still looking for a victory. But if you're in Arizona State, I think a lot of this is trying to find somebody from Bruce Snyder's past. And I talk to ASU people, they always want to say, well, he's never been a Sun Devil. We have to get a Sun Devil here. Hugh Jackson, the link there is Hugh Jackson really helped Jake Plummer. And I'm sure if we had Jake on today and said, what do you think about Hugh Jackson being the next head coach? Jake would go on the air. I'm sure if I had any of those guys from the Rose Bowl team.
Well, even in the NFL, Hugh Jackson really helped Andy Dalton. Look what happened since Hugh Jackson left Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But if I ask Keith Poole to come on the air or Juan Roque or Jake or any of the guys from the Rose Bowl team, they would all make the case that Hugh Jackson should be the guy. Optically, Eric, you bring in a coach that can't win a game in the NFL. Optically. That's not a great look. Now, does that mean in my mind that Hugh Jackson wouldn't be a good hire? Well, yeah, he has developed. Maybe he's a better college coach than a pro coach. And anybody can make the argument, well, guys, he was with Cleveland, which is the most outside of the Suns, probably one of the most dysfunctional sports franchises in the entire planet.
I would really hope that Ray Anderson hires a college coach because the demands of a college coach now compared to when Hugh Jackson was at ASU and some of these other, college.
Is that a retread? Is he a retread?
I don't know if he's a retread. It's a different animal now with recruiting and social media. And, I mean, it's a lot more involvement to be a college football coach or even a college assistant coach than it was 15, 20 years ago.
What if there is a change? Like Mike Gundy is all over Tennessee today. That's the Tennessee on social media, and these are.
That would be a home run hire for Tennessee if they got Mike Gundy.
But is Mike Gundy a home run hire at Arizona State?
Sure.
Okay, so if he's willing to listen to anybody, would you want Mike Gundy to get on a plane and come out here?
Of course.
Okay, and does Mike Gundy check all the boxes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I feel
way more so than Kevin Sumlin for me.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin is just Kevin Sumlin feels like, yeah, he was our guy all along.
He's fine.
And he's not going to be the guy all along.
Maybe.
Like, they're talking to other people.
He's so fine. He's fine. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
You going to watch the Mighty Suns tonight?
Maybe.
So they play the Bulls. Bulls are tanking.
Okay.
And
Suns aren't purposely tanking, but they're losing.
should we encourage them to get into the Bagley Ayton sweepstakes now? I know it's the end of November.
Yeah, it's tough.
Alex,
I'm not in NBA mode right now.
I've been watching because there's been a steady stream of the good teams. I'll watch Boston. I'll watch Golden State. Yeah, the Suns are playing tonight. Alex Len has not played in two of the last three games, and there's a lot of smoke blowing around that they're about to move him out, which would be another failed, missed first-round pick. And there's a reason – well, there's lots of reasons why, but it's interesting. And if Booker is not going to play tonight, that's a tough watch. It's just a tough watch. All right, we're done for the day here, but now we're going to move over on the television side, get our television show ready for tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Thanks for being with us. We join you every day. We tape this at 10 a.m., all right? So you're sitting there at your office, and you're like, there's nothing on. There's nothing going on. You can put this on in the background, and we do our thing. And we appreciate those of you that do sponsor us. We are self-funded, so we thank you for that. And our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Jared is awesome. He's the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen, who you see and hear, and you've seen and heard him for many, many, many years. He's the senior executive vice president of nothing many days, but most days he does everything and does it well. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.